from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run.
Christopher, that is the furthest hit home run by a Cub this season. What were you looking for in that at bat?
So they threw me a slider all game. So I trying to make this adjustment, trying to slide it up and trying to make like crush the ball. And God gave me this moment, I crushed it.
You didn't get to start the year with this team. You started the year in AAA. You were swinging the bat really well. What were you really trying to work on down there in Iowa?
Just trying to have fun, believe myself, believe in God's moment, and keep working hard and let it go. The team need me. I got to be there.
That's Christopher Morel after his big homer on Friday. They were wheeling and dealing, the Twins were, and then he did get a hold of that slider. But hey, that's what coaching's for. We talk about this, the development of players, right? To be able to tell your guys where they're going to be. And Christopher Morel, a guy that swings the bat well on pitches that are outside the zone, was able to connect on that one and make the best of it. And the guy who was right there, front and center, covering this whole thing, is joining us right now, and he's hanging out with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's the National Major League Baseball insider for Bally Sports. He's the host at the Rally, and he also does Friday Night Baseball. Did a great job this past Friday. Russell Dorsey, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
My first question to you is, how many push-ups did you do this morning?
See, that's hate, Gabe. That's
no,
hate.
No, I'm trying to measure myself, Russ. Russ, I'm trying to measure myself. I'm trying to see where I need to be at, you know?
Not as many as me. Surprising. I'm going to say that.
Marshall, you should sit this one out, because you always put your business in the street about your health. But the answer is honestly zero. Zero push-ups this morning.
Okay, fine. Then I beat you. Then I feel good about that, at least, in my healthy journey right here. Russ, let's talk about Christopher Morel for a second. I mean, it's a guy who, you know, as Marshall and I were talking, you know, didn't have the benefit of starting the season with the team, but you knew the talent was there. Utility type of player, did whatever was asked of him last year from Rossi, but then comes up, you know, in his very first game and does what he's brought up to do. You know, what do you think about him? I've been asking this question a lot. Like, where do you see him playing? Or is he just that ultimate guy that's going to be wherever he wants? Because I was telling Marshall, I was like, I wish he would just come out and say where he wanted to play. Maybe they're not going to put him there, but I would love for him to just, like, make that declaration, like, hey, man, it'd be good to be every day X position. What does that look like to you, and what are your thoughts on Christopher Morel?
I think he is going to be a guy that is going to have to make his bones as just a guy who just carries, like, 4 or 5 gloves. You know what I mean? And you can be an all-star like that. Like, we saw Chris Bryant for years do that. Now, I know KB was ultimately a third baseman, but I think with this current roster construction, there's really not, especially when Nico Horner is healthy, a place for Christopher Morel to play every day. And so I think he's going to get a lot of at-bats, but he'll be playing third base. He'll play, you know, a little second. He'll play center field when you want a DH Bellinger. And with Mervis now up, you're going to have to pick and choose matchups that you think Christopher Morel can be effective. So I think for me right now, while Nico's on the IL, which figures to be a minimum stint on the IL, he'll get the lion's share of the at-bats at second base. But I think he's going to be a guy that has to kind of roam around and find those at-bats wherever he can.
Listen, I love Christopher Morel and what he brings to the game. I'm on record saying he's my favorite player to watch in this city right now. Well, it's him and Dylan Cease.
Robert Jr.
Well, I'm saying it's him and Dylan Cease, but Cease only takes the mound every 5 days. The guy that is kind of in his spot that maybe we thought he would be is Patrick Wisdom. Are you surprised at all at how well he's played this season? I mean, he's leading the league in slugging percentage at .607, and he's got 12 bombs, and he looks like a very good Major League Baseball player, where before it was all or nothing maybe with him.
Yeah, and I think Patrick is always going to be that slugging type of player where he goes on these stretches where he'll hit 8-9 homers in a month, and then he'll hit, you know, sub 200, and you'll be like, all right, well, how is this dude still in the big leagues? And I think he's tried to find a middle ground of, you know, being able to still show off that power, but being consistent enough to be a major league player. Because I think that's what guys struggle with who have, you know, those characteristics that he has in his swing. I think the biggest thing for me with Patrick Wisdom, if you're going to be a guy that, you know, hits for so much power, you know, there's a lot of swing and miss, what else can you do to stay in the big leagues? And I think for me, when Patrick Wisdom came up with the Cubs in, you know, he came up in the end of 2020, but in 2021, he was a really sure-handed defender at third base, right? Like, he was one of the best defenders in baseball by outs above average and defensive runs saved. And then last year was really subpar for him. Like, the metrics absolutely hated Patrick Wisdom at third base. And you saw some of the mental mistakes, booting balls, et cetera, that seemed kind of out of character from the year prior. And if you look at him this year, he's back to being above average at third base, two outs above average, and I think he's minus two defensive run saves as I'm looking at right now. And so, like, you're starting to see it kind of balance out where, you know, if you're going to swing and miss and you're not going to be able to, you know, swing the bat and you're bad defensively, it's kind of like you got to find somebody else that can, you know, do that better. But if he's going to be a guy who's at least average defensively at third base and brings that power from the right side, I think that's a guy that can be productive at the big league level.
We're talking to Russell Dorsey here on 670 The Score, Hit and Run. You got Gabe Ramirez, Marshall Harris filling in for Matt Spiegel. I'm trying to look at this back end of the Cubs bullpen, and, you know, not a ton of saves over there. I mean, right, when you're looking at, you know, who's really in that space, you got Brad Boxberger, you know, with a couple of saves. Is that, like, who do you feel most comfortable giving the ball to, you know, let's say in a tight game, Cubs up run or two in a save situation? Who do you feel most comfortable giving the ball to in that situation?
I mean, based off what we've seen right now, it's either Mark Leiter Jr. or Adbert Alzolay, you know, and I know Boxberger has the closing experience. I know Michael Fulmer has closing experience. But those two guys have been nails for David Ross so far this year. And I think for you look at those save numbers, it's kind of – they really didn't have a closer to start the season. And so you're kind of going by committee, going off of, all right, Fulmer got the first opportunity, then Boxberger got a couple opportunities, and then lately it's been a combination of Mark Leiter Jr. or Adbert Alzolay, depending on the matchup there. And I think those are the two guys that have shown that they can do it. Is that the way it's going to look when the Cubs feel that they can – you know, try to win a World Series? No. But for right now, if those are the two guys that are getting it done, those are the guys that are going to get the ball from David Ross.
Looking at the rotation, how concerned should we be about Hayden Wesneski? One, I mean, he's fresh on everyone's mind. But also Jameson Taillon, who's a big free agent pickup.
Taillon, I give a little bit more, you know, benefit of the doubt as a guy who's been in the big leagues for a while, had success. Wisniewski, look, it's his first year in the big leagues. And I think sometimes, and I talk about this with any player, pitcher, position player, sometimes we take for granted how hard it is to be a really good Major League Baseball player and how it doesn't always click. Like, I think about Justin Steele and Keegan Thompson in 2021, where both of those guys got to the big league level, and they're like, all right, you're going to start in the bullpen. And both of those guys were in the bullpen. They had success. And it's like, all right, now you get your transition into the rotation. And each guy saw some success and saw some struggle. And then ultimately, Keegan Thompson, they were like, okay, you're a bullpen piece now, right? And Albert Alzolay, same thing. Justin Steele is the one where, like, all right, he took that struggle and turned into, you know, a really solid second season last year. And he's been one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball this year. So I can't look at it right now and say, all right, this guy, it's not going to work out. I think it's a guy who's trying to figure out his repertoire at the big league level against big league hitters, and now he's going to have to make that adjustment because guys have started to adjust to him.
Let's talk about the rotation of the other team in the city of Chicago. Don't come on, bro. You've been doing this all day right here. I need a little bit of Sox love in my life right here. Of these pitchers that are there, you got Giolito on the bump today. And it seems, we were just talking to Josh Nelson about, his successes as of late and just, being the pitcher that he is. But when you look at Giolito, especially in a start like today against the Houston Astros at home, do you feel like he gets up for games like this? Or is he a kind of guy that's like gets on the bump and he just says to himself, I you think it's in his head? Like, I need to just be doing the best I possibly can in the present. Like, he seems like a pitcher for me, Russ, that I just can't figure out.
I understand the question, Gabe, because he's like such a cerebral guy, like deep thinker, like really thinks about a lot of things. Like, you ask him a question, he's really going to try to give you the best answer that he possibly can. And maybe that is it. Like, he's trying so hard to be fine with every pitch. Maybe early that got him out of being, the pitcher that we've seen he could be in the big leagues. But lately, as you mentioned, like, he's been really good, right? Been more of the guy that people expected him to be at the top of that rotation. And they really needed him to be that. Unfortunately, it seems like with the White Sox, they have one starting pitcher who is pitching well, and then the other guys aren't picking up the slack. And it's kind of been the thing that's happened for them all year long. And you can't have one solid starting pitcher and the other four have ERAs over 5. Like, you're not going to be a good baseball team that way. So I think Lucas is in a good spot right now, especially over his last 3 starts. And, he's going to face a Houston Astros team that is looking to find some consistency offensively too. Has some really good players in it. Yordan Alvarez, I picked him to win AL MVP. And he's always going to be a threat. But another good start today, that would put him on a really good path, going into the end of May and into June. And then we'll see what with the White Sox and how that takes them. But it can't just be one guy.
Let me ask you this also, Russ. What do you think is the solution for the Chicago White Sox and the predicament that they're in right now? I mean, not just with their record, but just as an organization as a whole. Like you obviously cover every team in depth, do great job at it. You know the ins and outs of most organizations and how they're operating. So if you take a look at the White Sox and if we're going to be in the solution business, not just pointing out the problems that exist, what is that for you?
Oh, that's a good question, Gabe, because I look at this team and I see a flawed roster. I see a roster of guys who, at the time that they put them together, probably worked, but it doesn't work anymore. And you're going to get to a point here sooner rather than later where you say, is it time to hit the button? And all signs are pointing to it's time to hit the button. And it's unfortunate because I know a lot of White Sox fans are out there that are hearing me every day, hear me with you guys, hear me with Bernsey and Holmes during the week and go, we can't blow this team up after everything that it took to even put this team together in like bad years, trading Chris Sale to get Moncada. You trade, Quintana to get Aloy and Cease. But those guys have not done what you needed them to do, right? And nobody in that core has been healthy at the same time. And you're looking at a White Sox team that people thought had a window that was wide open. And sadly, that window has closed. And there are a lot of good teams around the big leagues. And when you compare the good teams in baseball with the Chicago White Sox, you realize very quickly that they are not one of those teams.
And they benefit, of course, from playing in a subpar division.
Oh, so nice of you.
Is what we'll call it. Russ, look, man, I know where it's going. You just summed up pretty well how things are going, where things are going. But more specifically on the micro level, like, so you got to start shipping people out, right? Like, you talked about Giolito a moment ago, but, like, Tim Anderson's only got a year and a half left possibly for the White Sox to control him. I mean, don't you have to get the most you can get for all these guys and start making decisions this trade deadline as opposed to even if guys aren't up this year?
Yeah, you at least have to take the phone call, right? Like, I think you talk to a lot of people around the game And the Vultures are starting to circle around Guaranteed Rate Field, right? Like, there are a lot of teams that could use some starter pitching. And if Lucas Giolito is going to pitch like this guy, for a guy who's going to be a free agent this offseason anyway, like, I would imagine that you'd take some phone calls, right? Like, maybe Lance Lynn gets it together. Maybe he does not, right? Tim Anderson, you talk about having a year left on his deal before being a free agent next season. That's definitely a guy that a lot of teams around the big leagues like what he brings to the table. So, I think where they are right now, they have one of the worst run differentials in all of baseball. And while they play in a bad division, you've kind of dug yourself into such a hole. I would be absolutely stunned if they got anywhere near 500 this year. Those phone calls, they're going to start happening pretty soon.
And that's the sad part about it, Russ. All right, before we get you out of here, I mean, I know you're doing Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. You cover it at length. I'm curious, what's your favorite team to kind of dive in? Like, when you're pulling up your laptop and you know, first thing in the morning, I don't know if you drink coffee or not, but what team are you?
Okay,
good. Just making sure. So what team are you covering? What team are you, excited about when you do wake up in the morning?
All right, so there's two teams in the AL East that I love covering. The Toronto Blue Jays, because they're such a fun, young team. They have the young superstar in Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but they made a lot of moves this offseason with their starting pitching, and they acquired Dalton Varsho from the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I think is one of the more underrated players in baseball. And it seems like just a good mix of players for that team, but also in a tough division. And then the Tampa Bay Rays, because it's hard to find a team that's good at everything. And the Rays lead baseball in almost every offensive statistic, but also most starting pitching statistics too. And it just, everybody tries to be the Tampa Bay Rays, but they're the exception and not the rule. It is really hard to do what they have done. And it's actually pretty cool to see how they do it in that division.
Russ, I'm with you on the Tampa Bay Rays. They are an amazing organization, sports notwithstanding, like the way they've been able to just do what they do for so long.
And with
so
$67 million.
With $67 million payroll. I got to ask you, Russ, when you look at it, how everything's kind of played out here in Chicago, I just need you to do me a favor, because it's not for me. I'm a White Sox fan. It's for Gabe. Give me something positive to lean into if you're a White Sox fan, getting mentally and spiritually prepared for what's
Jake
next.
Berger.
Give me something they're like, well, at least you have blank.
Oh, come on. Come
on. Gabe, have you seen this team?
We see them every day.
I try to avoid them, Russ, but I have to do this for a living, so I have some fun.
I get it.
You know what?
I'll give this to you, Gabe. For you and all the fans out there holding out hope on this lovely Sunday, Luis Robert over the last 15 games has an OPS of 1,100, right? Over 1,100. So that's really good. And that's just so much better. Don't give me the – No air horn.
No air horn?
No air horn. But he is playing very well, and he's playing like the player that they thought that he would be. But it can't just be for stretching. They need that all the time.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you bring up that specific stat, because they've won 7 times in those 15 games, which is a much better win rate than the rest of the season.
Still below 500, but yeah, I'll take what it's worth. Hey, Russ, I appreciate you hanging out with us today, man. Happy Mother's Day to you and yours. I can't wait to talk to you again, all right?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Of course, as always, Russell Dorsey. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Russ_Dorsey1. You catch him on Bally Sports, catch him on The Rally. He does a great job there. Of course, Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV as well.
You know where you can also catch him? Lakeshore Drive around 8 a.m. This man runs like 5, 6, 7 miles.
Yeah,
I see him all the time. I'm like, yo, why are you out here doing this?
The way my knees are set up, I just can't.
Russ is a young man. He's got his whole life ahead of him.
Yeah. How about you? Why aren't you running? Are you running with him? Are you running with him during those times?
The two bulging discs. He knows about the bulging discs. So
that's the first thing he said.
He came out my neck. Like,
get out of this conversation.
But I can do push-ups. I just can't. There's nothing. Right. I can't do much of anything.
Well, I'm gonna do a couple just so I can say I've done more push-ups than Russell Dorsey in this thing. I'll do that. But when we come back, we have an opportunity to continue this beautiful conversation, specifically when it comes to the Cubs. You know, who is their most important player right now?
Ooh,
that's on their roster. We know Marcus Stroman's on the bump today. Is he? We'll discuss that and take your phone calls as well. We're going to open up the lines again. 312-644-6767. All Cubs and Sox thoughts are welcome here on Hit and Run. As I, Gabe Ramirez, along with Marshall Harris, fill in for Matt Spiegel right here on 670 The Score.
The premier baseball show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In Chicago, hit and run.
Gabe Ramirez, Marshall Harris, CBS 2. He's going to be on tonight, 10:37.
Ish. Yeah. Hopefully y'all are up and get your mothers to watch too.
Well, I'm gonna be at work competing. We're not really competing.
You're 10 to 10:30, right?
No, and you have a real job at CBS too. I'm at Fox. I'm at Fox just helping out on the Sports Zone tonight. But I'll be on Fox 32 myself, Cassie Carlson, Sports Zone. It is at 10 o'clock, and then so you go on out. So what you should do is watch me. You know what I'm saying? From 10 to 10:30, and then right after I finish, go get yourself a double dose of Gabe and Marshall, and go watch him on CBS 2.
I'm with that.
Yeah,
I'm completely with that.
See, people think there's competition out there. No. We're working together during the day, and then we just happen to be on two different stations later on tonight.
Chasing checks. What's good?
You know what? I would never do because we are good friends. Marshall and I, we were hanging out at PB&J in the West Loop on Friday night.
Watching my Warriors season end.
He was so disappointed watching the Warriors game.
And you kept trying to tell me, oh, no, there's time.
All I know is that I show up and I'm saying what's up to everybody. And then I'm like, damn, Marshall's like not even like acknowledging me. And then I look and his eyes are glued to the television. And I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, my Dubs are losing.
Yeah, it was over. I knew it was like the final procession at the funeral.
And that's what Steve Kerr said at the very end, too. He said, hey, man, you saw this team all season long. We are not a championship caliber team. And he was right. We ended up at a stereo. We went to a stereo for
brand
a little
new
bit.
Spot, right?
Their new second location. Yeah. And in Fulton Market, went over there, hung out. Now, here's something that would never have happened, Marshall, while we were, you know, riding around the city, enjoying life. What you and I would never have done was, A, have a gun in the car, and two, if either of us were to go on IG Live, the other would never have picked it up and waved it around. We're calling that the John Morant.
Are the people who do that?
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I'm not doing in Chicago. All right, I'm not waving around some gun in my car while I'm driving around. First of all, I need my job. Let's start with that.
Apparently, everyone doesn't need their job though.
Clearly, because John Morant did not care. And if you haven't heard, John Morant in an IG live video, Instagram live video, was seen again. Holding a gun when waving it in the air like if he was Petey Pablo and it was a t-shirt. And his boy who was driving and who was taking the IG live, you know, didn't necessarily show, like he shows him like, you know, slamming it to the ground because he realized that Ja had the gun in his hand. But as many people are reporting right now, the Grizzlies have suspended Ja indefinitely from all basketball activities with the organization.
As they should, and it didn't take very long. Before, remember, it was kind of a... It happened in March in Denver, just outside of Denver, at a nightclub where he was doing that. No, they didn't know whose gun it was. But there's a lot of, like, this is very much more clear-cut. You're in a car, a vehicle, with people that you know, and you're waving around a gun, so it belongs to someone in that vehicle.
And you're and the worst part is, for me, is that in the beginning of the video, he doesn't have the gun in his hands. So they're listening to NBA Youngboy, and they're, you know what I'm saying, rapping along with the lyrics. And then the buddy takes the phone and kind of puts it on himself for a second. And in that second that he puts the video on himself, Ja goes and grabs the gun and puts it in the air. Like,
waving around like a helicopter.
How stupid can you be? In, like, there, so, which so, angle are we discussing so we, here? So here, I'm angry.
Here's the thing. I told you when it happened the first time, I felt bad for Ja Morant. Yeah. I was like, clearly he's going through some stuff where he's making these decisions that are just make no sense, right? Yeah. Like senseless decisions. This time I don't feel bad for him. I hope that he learns his lesson, but you felt the other way where you were mad at him the first time and now you feel bad for him.
I feel bad for him as a human being who is going to suffer the consequence. And it should be a big one. I want to make that very clear. It should be a damning effect on his career, on his season, because it's ridiculous what we just saw in this IG video. But I feel bad for the human, again, that has to deal with consequence. That's the part that I feel bad about. I'm not feeling bad like to give him a pass. You know what I'm saying? And so when you're looking at this, Marshall, and you see the video, like, what do you think could possibly be going through his head? And you touched on the fact that we're not saying he was, you know, smoking weed or whatever, but like maybe he was high and just dumb, or maybe he was, you know, he's off season, had a drink or two, whatever that might have been. We don't want to pass that off as a good excuse or a reason. But without cursing, what the F do you think he was thinking about in that moment?
Let me give you a Ja Morant quote from April 28th. This is after the Lakers eliminated him from the playoffs, right? Quote, "I've just got to be better with my decision making. That's pretty much it. Off the court issues affected us as an organization pretty much. Just need more discipline." That's his own words at the end of the season. Because, you know, they obviously did not live up to expectations as the 2 seed in the Western Conference, eliminated in the first round by the Lakers. So my thing is, he's going to get suspended by the NBA.
As he should.
So it's like, how many games are you going to be suspended? How is this going to affect? It's going to affect a lot of things. Because, you know, they got the new rule about you got to play 65 games to get some NBA awards. And that directly affects his future earnings. Mm. And so if he's suspended for, say, 20, 25 games.
And I think that that's a good number.
Then this decision has messed up so much for him. His career's not over by any stretch. But, like, the potential of what it could have been, you know, he just debuted his brand new shoe. There's just so many different elements of this that have, in one moment, one bad decision, and I'll say it's worse than a bad decision. It is a terrible decision. Because it's not like this was the first time.
Yeah.
Did you learn nothing? And so whether it was a makeshift counseling thing that he went through before, he's going to have to really, like, he's going to probably have to cut off some of his friends. Like, there's going to be a lot of major ramifications on his life based on what we've seen on this IG Live video that, have, of course, has since been deleted, but it's out there. You know, it's the
screen record. It's easy.
Yes. So I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know how he bounces back from this. I mean, he's going to bounce back, but I don't know. I just don't know the total damage done.
Yeah. Imagine it's Mother's Day today.
It's Mother's Day.
Like, bro.
And he's dealing with this.
You got to call your mom and she's like, you know what? I'm sending you to voicemail today. No. Moms will pick that up.
Moms will pick that up.
That'll never happen.
That will never happen for most kids. That's what makes moms great.
And you know, you want to give the easy statement, like, I hope he learns his lesson, but he's not, because he didn't. And so here he is again. And so, you know, do you need the repercussions to be worse in order for you to learn? Like, something big has to happen, bigger than what we've seen in that space. And, man, I'll be watching closely because I can't wait to see what, you know, people are saying. But in the immediate.
And it's our jobs.
And it's our jobs. But in the present, the Grizzlies have suspended him from all basketball activities. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. All right, when we come back, Dusty Baker joined the guys here at 670 The Score, and we get an opportunity to hear from him, some insight onto, you know, his baseball career, you know, what he thinks of the game in the present, just some really, really good stuff from Dusty Baker. So we'll play that on the other side. Make sure you're here for it. It's Gabe Ramirez, Marshall Harris, filling in for Matt Spiegel right here on Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It was amazing. He was the manager of the Cubs, like, way back. In 04, I went to some games that summer. I believe he was a manager then. He's managed so many legends, and he played with so many legends, and he himself is one, too. So it's just so cool to get to play for him. And yeah, to be on the team that finally got him a World Series as a manager was also incredible. It made it that much sweeter when we won. You know, we were so happy for him. And, you know, it was kind of the last box we feel like he needed to check off, because he won one, or he had won at least one as a player, I believe, but not as a manager, and he had been there quite a few times. So, you know, what an experience to get to be a part of that with him.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine. Boy, that was Trey Mancini, the Cubs outfielder, talking about his experience playing for Dusty Baker last year with the Houston Astros, which brings us to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. That's where we find Dusty Baker. Good morning, Dusty. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. I was trying to recognize that voice, you know, but that, now that you mentioned it, it was Trey Mancini. How's he doing over there?
You know, he's doing okay. They're off to a pretty good start. You know, they're 500, but they look like a better team. And he's certainly, his presence in the clubhouse has maybe been his biggest contribution. He's still finding his way at the plate. But Dusty, as you listen to a player like that, who had a short period of time, you know, in your clubhouse, on your team, speak with such reverence, it's got to make you feel good. What goes through your mind when you hear stuff like that?
Well, I don't know. It kind of embarrasses me a little bit. You know what I mean? And, you know, you just figure, hey, man, that's part of your job, and this is how you were raised, and this is, you know, what you're continuing, you know, to pass on to, you know, these young men and young women. And so, you know, that's what goes through my mind, that you might have been a positive influence on somebody's lives and their family, you know, and put them in a more secure, you know, situation, and also put them in a situation to succeed.
Dusty, it's great having you on. Thanks for picking up the phone and talking to us today. It was, it's always wonderful catching up with you. And talking to you yesterday, you were asked about being the ultimate winner, winning a World Series last year. But I think it was fascinating to hear you say, hey, whether I won the big game or not, I've always looked at myself as a winner and people around me as a winner. Can you expand a little bit on that philosophy that's kept you going through these years with tremendous successful seasons, but not the the gold ring until last year?
Well, you know, I mean, my dad would always tell me, you know, I do have a pretty good game in whatever sport I was playing. And my dad would always tell me that I did pretty good. And he never said, you know, hey, you did good or you did great. And, you know, that was his way of, you know, keeping me motivated. And I've been a captain on most of the teams I've been on. I played all sports. I was just the honor man in the Marines. And just that, you know, my path along the way to this point, I've always thought, you know, that I'm a winner without necessarily wearing it on your sleeve. And, you know, I remember my daughter asked me when she was really young, she said, Dad, you know, why must you always win? And I was playing jacks or tiddlywinks or jump rope or whatever we were playing. And I said, well, baby, I'm supposed to win. And she said, Dad, that's not an answer. You know how kids keep bugging you. And she said, Dad, that is not an answer. And I said, well, let me tell you, you know, the only thing I come up with is, hey, man, they're not going to let you win in life. And so, you know, you're going to have to you know, take these wins. You're also going to have to take these losses, but you keep getting up and you keep, you know, persevering, because this is how I was raised in the church, about, you know, perseverance and character and strength. And, you know, it's easy when you win. I mean, it is very, very difficult to get back up, you know, when you lose. But, you know, you got to get back up. You know, like, you might cry at night, but in the morning the sun is up and it's a new day. Like, it was raining last night, and the first thing I do is open the window in the morning and the sun is up. And, you know, whether you can see it or not, you know that the sun is up. So that's just my outlook on life. And, you know, like, I really dislike negativism and to be around negative people. I don't have to be around them. So I try to surround myself with positive people. And if they're not positive, then you try to influence them to be, you know, more positive.
What a great perspective. And it seems as if you passed down a lot of that to your son, Darren, who, by the way, Dusty, hitting the cover off the ball at AAA, 353 for Rochester. Yeah. Did you see, I don't know how active you are on your computer, but or Twitter or social media, but you had to have seen the highlight. He made a second base, a behind-the-back ground ball on Thursday, and he threw out the runner. That was highlight. That was great stuff.
Well, I'm not, you know, I don't go on there. You know, I don't even have an account, but my wife does. And like Gary Matthews called her, the best reporter out there, because she anything I want to know about him, you know, like, you know, she's on it. She follows it on the computer, you know, the games. And, yeah, you know, we're proud of him. But like I told him, son, don't get too high when you're going good, or get too low when you're going bad. And that, you know, I gave him a little more than pretty good, you know, like my dad used to give me. And so, you know, I let him know when he's doing good. And I try not to be too hard on him, you know, if he doesn't do well, because I've learned from other players that I've had, or friends that I've had that had sons that played. And it's very difficult to be the son of a former player, especially if you were a pretty good player. You know, I talked to Barry Bonds, I talked to Ken Griffey Jr. Now I got Craig Biggio, whose son Gavin is in in Toronto. And so, you know, he says he doesn't call him every day, he doesn't talk baseball every day, and it's a little difficult to do. But you know, these guys are helping me deal with the son that's trying to make it, because there is a lot of pressure on him. And, you know, he's admitted it to his mom, you know, not admitted it to me necessarily, but I mean, I can feel it. I feel for him. And then my wife said he made another great play last night. And so, hey, you know, just keep on playing.
Dusty Baker, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. He's David. I'm Bruce. We talk baseball every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year on The Score. Dusty, you talked about being grateful for having another opportunity yesterday when you were talking to a couple of us guys. And I think that is earned. It's not given. When I talked to Davey Martinez a couple years ago about what it was that made Dusty Baker successful, he talked about the fact that he was the 25th man on the team when they had 25 only, and that you treated him as well or better than anyone else, that you knew the food that he liked, you knew his family members. This is a lot of people work that you do. I don't think it's a mistake, Dusty, that you've been a success where you've gone.
Right. Well, I don't think it's a mistake either. But, you know, I just, you know, when I was a kid, you know, they would never let the two best players on the playground play with each other, if you're playing football or basketball or whatever it was. So, you know, me and another kid would always pick, and I'd always pick the kid at the end of that was having his feelings hurt. Nobody wanted him on the team, and I'd get the rebound, and I had feelings for him, and I'd get the rebound, and, you know, I could score all the points if I wanted to, but I felt better passing it to him until he finally scored a point. And then, you know, once I got into the Marines, you know, they explained that, you know, you leave no man behind and everybody's important. And then when I started studying some Asian culture, you know, they would always talk about the circle of life, and the circle is not complete unless the lesser is equal to the what they say, the lesser, which is a is equal to whatever the greatest is on the team. And I'm paraphrasing, and so I try to, you know, use that, you know, try to make everybody feel important, because they are important. And I mean, whether you contribute to one game or whether you contribute to, you know, 10 games, it doesn't matter. We, you know, we're going to need you. Plus, Davey is talking himself down a little bit. Davey was not the 28th player on a 25-man team, okay, because Davey was a good player. I mean, he was an excellent player. He had speed. He had some power. He was a good hitter, and he could throw, you know. And so, like I said, Davey, I think, is just being humble, you know, but Davey was a very good player.
Dusty, it's a challenge that every manager wants, but coming back and defending a World Series title and finding the same level of intensity and finding the motivation the year after you win it all has to be a new set of challenges for you. What's been your philosophy in approaching it? How well do you think your team is responding to it?
Well, I mean, I think we're responding to it well. I mean, but the only thing is, I don't have the same team that I had out there that won the World Series. You know, like, you know, when I was watching Phil Jackson, I watch him a lot. He was saying every year is different. You know, Vince Lombardi, you know, every year is different that you're trying to, you know, you're trying to win. You know, I read some quotes by Red Auerbach and, you know, John Wooden. And, you know, this is a different year. I don't have Verlander. I've been without Altuve, our leader, Mighty Mouse, from the very, very beginning. I've been without, you know, Michael Brantley from the very beginning. And now I lost Urquidy, and now I've lost Garcia. I mean, you start chipping away with your team, you're not the same team. I mean, I'm a team out there with probably 6 to 8 first or second year players. And so, you know, the challenge is to get the second, first and second year players to contribute to psychologically and physically to the point where they are not just happy to be here. You know what I mean? They're not just happy to be here. We expect them to play and expect them to win. But the one thing I have noticed, a difficulty, is that you have to teach at the big league level because they rush them so quickly out of need. And because they have less minor league teams to let them stay there and cultivate and marinate their skills, that they get here before they really learn how to play. And you don't know what guys don't know until they mess up something. Then you're like, I can't believe I just saw that. And then you got to go over and have a learning moment. And just as long as they don't make the same mistakes in a short period of time, you know, you have to live with it.
Dusty, I had Sean Sears, our producer, play Walkin' Blues by Paul Butterfield Blues Band because I know you're a huge blues fan. You're good friends with Elvin Bishop, you know, so all of that. But what I'm alluding to is you took some of your people fishing up to Kenosha the other day on your off day. How essential is it to have a different perspective on doing other things throughout a baseball season just to keep your mind and everything intact?
Well, you have to. I mean, you got to take a break away from your job. You know, that's why people can't wait till it's Friday. You know what I mean? They could leave Saturday and Sunday, but they got to go back. That's why I dread going back to work on Monday. But see, we don't have Fridays and Saturdays. I mean, this job can be 6 days a week or it could be 16 days a week, you know, in a row. And so it's very important that you recharge. Something I learned from Hank Aaron and something that, you know, I learned from actually Dave Kingman, like I said yesterday, because he used to live on a boat and used to go fishing off his boat. And I love fishing, but sometimes this game can get all encompassing and then you're on this hamster wheel that you can't get off. And, you know, sometimes this game won't let you sleep. And you know, a lot of guys, what happens is, you know, they get so into the game that sometimes they get into the bottle or they get into drugs to try to escape from it. So you have to, like, you know, get away from your job. I think that's for everybody. You got to get away or else this job will, you know, consume you.
Before we let you go, Dusty, obviously Jose Abreu comes back to Chicago. He's a revered stature on the South Side with the White Sox all those years. What's it been like to manage him, and how confident are you that he can break out of this early slump that he finds himself in?
Well, you know, he's a tremendous dude. I mean, the guys love him. You know, he fit in right away. He doesn't talk a whole bunch yet. I think he works a little too hard sometimes, you know what I mean, and leaves some of the energy because he's wanting to do so well. And he internalizes a lot of, you know, whatever, you know, he's feeling. But, you know, I went through that my first year in L.A., the same thing. It was a big trade. And so, like, I got, you know, empathy for him because, like, I was traded, like, well, they traded Bill Buckner to the Cubs. They kept me. Both of us were hurt. I had a bad knee that year. My first year, 75, me and Buck were teammates. We both got hurt, but they booed me every day because it was a 5-for-2 trade, you know, major blockbuster trade. And, you know, I hit a home run my first at bat, and I hit another one until July of the 4th. And I was booed every day. They broke the lamps out at my house, scratched my car. And, you know, the fans were mad. And I was embarrassed. And then I got my knee fixed next year, I hit 30 home runs, and I made the all-Dodger team. So I know exactly kind of what he's going through. You know, like, you know, the ice needs to be broken here pretty soon before it consumes him.
That was Dusty Baker talking to David Hall, Bruce Levine, right here on Inside the Clubhouse. Great stuff right there. Dusty is just one of those treasures, man. You know, he's experienced the game in so many different ways. So when he speaks, you just got
to
listen.
And those fans were out of pocket. Let me just say that. Like, the stuff that they were doing to his car and whatnot. And the way he was saying it and taking it in stride, I was like, listen, if that happens today with Jose Abreu, people will be arrested.
It'd be
we got ring cameras everywhere.
Big difference on that one. All right. We have about, let's say, like a half hour or so right before Cubs pregame begins.
I'm running out of time with you?
Hey, man, I got a... Oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, we can walk down the hall and we can, like, do some pop radio if you want. They could do that, too. We can go on IG Live like John Morant.
No, let's not do that.
Okay, cool. But we will get the opportunity to lead you right into Cubs baseball. Zach Zaidman got your pregame. First pitch is at 1:10. Pregame starts right around 12:35. So we are going to preview the Cubs-Twins finale and discuss whether or not the Cubs are going to be taking this series. We'll do that on the other side. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Marshall Harris, in for Matt Spiegel. This is Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It was amazing. He was the manager of the Cubs, like, way back. In 04, I went to some games that summer. I believe he was the manager then. He's managed so many legends, and he played with so many legends, and he himself is one, too. So it's just so cool to get to play for him. And, yeah, to be on the team that finally got him a World Series as a manager was was also incredible. It made it that much sweeter when we won. You know, we were so happy for him. And, you know, it was kind of the last box we feel like he needed to check off, because he won one, or he had won at least one as a player, I believe, but not as a manager. And he had been there quite a few times. So, you know, what an experience to get to be a part of that with him.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, David Haw, Bruce Levine. Boy, that was Trey Mancini, the Cubs outfielder, talking about his experience playing for Dusty Baker last year with the Houston Astros, which brings us to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. That's where we find Dusty Baker. Good morning, Dusty. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. I was trying to recognize that voice. You know, but that, not to mention it was Trey Mancini. How's he doing over there?
You know, he's doing okay. They're off to a pretty good start. You know, they're 500, but they looked like a better team, and he's certainly, his presence in the clubhouse has maybe been his biggest contribution. He's still finding his way at the plate. But, Dusty, as you listen to a player like that, who had a short period of time, you know, in your clubhouse, on your team, speak with such reverence, it's got to make you feel good. What goes through your mind when you hear stuff like that?
Well, I don't know. It kind of embarrasses me a little bit. You know what I mean? And, you know, you just figure, hey, man, that's part of your job. And this is how you were raised. And this is, you know, what you're continuing, you know, to pass on to, you know, these young men and young women. And so, you know, that's what goes through my mind, that you might have been a positive influence on somebody's lives and their family, you know, and put them in a more secure, you know, situation, and also put them in a situation to succeed.
Dusty, it's great having you on. Thanks for picking up the phone and talking to us today. It's always wonderful catching up with you. And talking to you yesterday, you were asked about being the ultimate winner, winning a World Series last year. But I think it was fascinating to hear you say, hey, whether I won the big game or not, I've always looked at myself as a winner and people around me as a winner. Can you expand a little bit on that philosophy that's kept you going through these years with tremendous successful seasons, but not the gold ring until last year?
Well, you know, I mean, my dad would always tell me, you know, I do have a pretty good game in whatever sport I was playing. And my dad would always tell me that I did pretty good. And he never said, you know, hey, you did good or you did great. And, you know, that was his way of, you know, keeping me motivated. And I've been a captain on most of the teams I've been on. I played all sports. I was just the honor man in the Marines. And just that, you know, my path along the way to this point, I've always thought, you know, that I'm a winner without necessarily wearing it on your sleeve. And, you know, I remember my daughter asked me when she was really young, she said, Dad, you know, why must you always win? And I was playing jacks or tiddlywinks or jump rope or whatever we were playing. And I said, well, baby, I'm supposed to win. And she said, Dad, that's not an answer. You know, kids keep bugging you. And she said, Dad, that is not an answer. And I said, well, let me tell you, you know, the only thing I come up with is, hey, man, they're not going to let you win in life. And so, you know, you're going to have to, you know, take these wins. You're also going to have to take these losses. But you keep getting up and you keep, you know, persevering, because this is how I was raised in the church, about, you know, perseverance and character and strength. And, you know, it's easy when you win. I mean, it is very, very difficult to get back up, you know, when you lose. But, you know, you got to get back up. You know, like you might cry at night, but in the morning the sun is up and it's a new day. Like it was raining last night. And first thing I do is open the window in the morning and the sun is up. And, you know, whether you can see it or not, you know that the sun is up. So that's just my outlook on life. And, you know, like I really dislike negativism and to be around negative people. I don't have to be around them. So I try to surround myself with positive people. And if they're not positive, then you try to influence them to be, you know, more positive.
What a great perspective. And it seems as if you passed down a lot of that to your son, Darren, who, by the way, Dusty, hitting the cover off the ball at AAA, 353, for Rochester. Yeah. Did you see, I don't know how active you are on your computer, but or Twitter or social media, but you had to have seen the highlight. He made a second base, a behind-the-back ground ball on Thursday, and he threw out the runner. That was highlight. That was great stuff.
Well, I'm not, you know, I don't go on there. I don't even have an account, but my wife does. And like Gary Matthews called her the best reporter out there because she anything I want to know about him, she's on it. She follows it on the computer, the games. And we're proud of him. But like I tell them, son, don't get too high when you're going good or get too low when you're going bad. I gave him a little more than pretty good, like my dad used to give me. And so, I let him know when he's doing good. And I try not to be too hard on him, if he doesn't do well. Because I've learned from other players that I've had or friends that I've had that had sons that played. And it's very difficult to be the son of a former player, especially if you're a pretty good player. I talked to Barry Bonds. I talked to Ken Griffey Jr. Now I got Craig Biggio, whose son Gavin is in Toronto. And so, he says he doesn't call him every day. He doesn't talk baseball every day. And it's a little difficult to do. But, these guys are helping me deal with the son that's trying to make it because there is a lot of pressure on him. And, he's admitted it to his mom. Not admitted it to me necessarily, but I can feel it. I feel for him. And then my wife said he made another great play last night. And so, just keep on playing.
Dusty Baker, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. He's David on Bruce. We talk baseball every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year on The Score. Dusty, you talked about being grateful for having another opportunity yesterday when you were talking to a couple of us guys. And I think that is earned. It's not given. When I talked to Davey Martinez a couple years ago about what it was that made Dusty Baker successful, he talked about the fact that he was the 25th man on the team when they had 25 only, and that you treated him as well or better than anyone else, that you knew the food that he liked, you knew his family members. This is a lot of people... work that you do. It's not, I don't think it's a mistake, Dusty, that you've been a success where you've gone.
Right. Well, I don't think it's a mistake either, but, I just, when I was a kid, they would never let the two best players on the playground play with each other. If you're playing football or basketball or whatever it was. So, me and another kid would always pick, and I'd always pick the kid at the end of that was having his feelings hurt. Nobody wanted him on the team, and I'd get the rebound, and I had feelings for him, and I'd get the rebound, and I could score all the points if I wanted to, but I felt better passing it to him until he finally scored a point. And then once I got into the Marines, they explained that you leave no man behind, and everybody's important. And then when I started studying some amazing culture, they would always talk about the circle of life, and the circle is not complete unless the lesser is equal to the lesser, which is equal to whatever the greatest is on the team. And I'm paraphrasing, and so I try to use that, trying to make everybody feel important because they are important. And whether you contribute to one game or whether you contribute to, 10 games, it doesn't matter. We're going to need you. Plus, Davey is talking himself down a little bit. Davey was not the 28th player on a 25-man team, okay, because Davey was a good player. He was an excellent player. He had speed. He had some power. He was a good hitter, and he could throw, and so – like I said, Davey, I think, is just being humble. But Davey was a very good player.
Dusty, it's a challenge that every manager wants, but coming back and defending a World Series title and finding the same level of intensity and finding the motivation the year after you win it all. Mm-hmm. Has to be a new set of challenges for you. What's been your philosophy in approaching it? How well do you think your team is responding to it?
Well, I mean, I think we're responding to it well. I mean, but the only thing is, I don't have the same team that I had out there that won the World Series. You know, like, you know, when I was watching Phil Jackson, I watch him a lot. He was saying every year is different. You know, Vince Lombardi, you know, every year is different that you're trying to, you know, you're trying to win. You know, I read some quotes by Red Auerbach and, you know, John Wooden. And, you know, this is a different year. I don't have Verlander. I've been without Altuve, our leader, Mighty Mouse, from the very, very beginning. I've been without, you know, Michael Brantley from the very beginning. And now I lost Urquidy, and now I've lost Garcia. I mean, you start chipping away with your team, you're not the same team. I mean, I'm a team out there with probably 6 to 8 first or second year players. And so, you know, the challenge is to get the first and second year players to contribute to psychologically and physically to the point where they are not just happy to be here. You know what I mean? They're not just happy to be here. We expect them to play, expect them to win. But the one thing I have noticed, a difficulty, is that you have to teach at the big league level because they rush them so quickly out of need. And because they have less minor league teams to let them stay there and cultivate and marinate their skills, that they get here before they really learn how to play. And you don't know what guys don't know until they mess up something. Then you're like, I can't believe I just saw that. And then you got to go over and have a learning moment. And just as long as they don't make the same mistakes in a short period of time, you know, you have to live with it.
Dusty, I had Sean Sears, our producer, play Walkin' Blues by Paul Butterfield Blues Band because I know you're a huge blues fan. You're good friends with Elvin Bishop, you know, so all of that. But what I'm alluding to is you took some of your people fishing up to Kenosha the other day in your off day. How essential is it to have a different perspective on doing other things throughout a baseball season just to keep your mind and everything intact?
Well, you have to. I mean, you got to take a break away from your job. You know, that's why people can't wait till it's Friday. You know what I mean? They could leave Saturday and Sunday, but they got to go back. That's why I dread going back to work on Monday. But see, we don't have Fridays and Saturdays. I mean, this job can be 6 days a week or it could be 16 days a week, you know, in a row. And so it's very important that you recharge. Something I learned from Hank Aaron and something that, you know, I learned from actually Dave Kingman, like I said yesterday, because he used to live on a boat and used to go fishing off his boat. And I love fishing, but sometimes this game can get all encompassing. And then you're on this hamster wheel that you can't get off. And, you know, sometimes this game won't let you sleep. And you know, a lot of guys, what happens is, you know, they get so into the game that sometimes they get into the bottle or they get into drugs to try to escape from it. So you have to, like, you know, get away from your job. I think that's for everybody. You got to get away or else this job will, you know, consume you.
Before we let you go, Dusty, obviously Jose Abreu comes back to Chicago. He's a revered stature on the South Side with the White Sox all those years. What's it been like to manage him, and how confident are you that he can break out of this early slump that he finds himself in?
Well, you know, he's a tremendous dude. I mean, the guys love him. You know, he fit in right away. He doesn't talk a whole bunch yet. I think he works a little too hard sometimes. You know what I mean? And leave some of the energy because he's wanting to do so well. And he internalizes a lot of, you know, whatever, you know, he's feeling. But, you know, I went through that my first year in L.A., the same thing. It was a big trade. And so, like, I got, you know, empathy for him because, like, I was traded, like, well, they traded Bill Buckner to the Cubs. They kept me. Both of us were hurt. I had a bad knee that year. My first year, 75, me and Buck were teammates. We both got hurt, but they booed me every day because it was a 5-for-2 trade, you know, major blockbuster trade. And You know, I hit a home run my first at bat, and I hit another one until July the 4th. And I was booed every day. They broke the lamps out at my house, scratched my car. And, you know, the fans were mad. And I was embarrassed. And then I got my knee fixed next year, hit 30 home runs, and I made the all-Dodger team. So I know exactly kind of what he's going through. You know, like, you know, the ice needs to be broken here pretty soon before it consumes him.
That was Dusty Baker talking to David Hall, Bruce Levine, right here on Inside the Clubhouse. Great stuff right there. Dusty is just one of those treasures, man. You know, he's experienced the game in so many different ways. So when he speaks, you just got
to
listen.
And those fans were out of pocket. Let me just say that. Like, the stuff they were doing to his car and whatnot. And the way he was saying it and taking it in stride, I was like, listen, if that happens today with Jose Abreu, people will be arrested.
It'd be
we got ring cameras everywhere.
Big difference on that one. All right. We have about, let's say, like a half hour or so right before Cubs pregame begins.
I'm running out of time with you.
Hey, man, I got a... Oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, we can walk down the hall and we can, like, do some pop radio if you want. They could do that, too. We can go on IG Live like John Morant.
No, let's not do that.
Let's not do that. Okay, cool. But we will get the opportunity to lead you right into Cubs baseball. Zach Zaidman got your pregame. First pitch is at 1:10. Pregame starts right around 12:35. So we are going to preview the Cubs-Twins finale and discuss whether or not the Cubs are going to be taking this series. We'll do that on the other side. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Marshall Harris, in for Matt Spiegel. This is Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.